and we're trying to make sure we...
You're listening to Rafael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with sports, chat, and more.
Hey, welcome back this weekend. Every Monday night from 8 to 9:30. I'm actually sitting here going through my program. I had a special guest tonight. We were going to talk about the SEC baseball and some of the problem that's going on, but he cannot make it today. So I'm actually scrambling now to make sure we got give you an exciting program tonight. Well, trying to get I know D. Dix is going to be rolling in a minute or so, and then we'll have Tony Holton will be coming in probably about 8:15 or so, maybe 8:30. So we're not sure what's going on. We're actually going to talk a little bit about everything. After that at the 9:15 hour, I would say 9:15, we'll have Ms. Rhoda, Dr. Rhoda Arundel. She'll come in. She have a book. She have one book she wrote. She have another book that's coming out. We can have a conversation about the book that she's getting ready to launch. So we're going to have that. Talk a little bit about sports. I'm waiting for Dixon to come in so we can have a little conversation about sports and the highlights of what's going on with basketball, the draft that, you know, he's a diehard Pittsburgh Steelers fan. So we're going to see what he's going to say about the Pittsburgh Steelers picks and how he feel about them. We're going to go through a lot of different stuff. We have a program set up today. It's going to be hard because a lot of the people are actually busy doing what they're doing, and they get caught up. And we're trying to reschedule a lot of people, our guests and stuff for next week. This way it's kind of hard to do it that way. We have to actually be we have so many guests lined up every week, and we got to make sure that we have everybody in place and make sure we have a program. But sometimes when the program is not, it's throw off a little bit, we just have to like ad lib a little bit and try to make sure everything is in order. And knowing how we operate, man, once Dixon rolled in, we're going to have a hot show. Because Dixon always know how to keep things going. So once he rolled in, we're going to have a conversation. Again, thank you for calling. Thank you for being here. We are CRS Radio, Caribbean Radio Network. This is a sports chat and more. We talk about everything. I mean, is there certain things that you, the listeners, have to talk about? We don't discriminate on anybody talking. All we have to know is that we let you guys know that your opinion is your opinion. It's not best basically our opinion, but we can actually have conversation about what's going on in your island, in your neighborhood. We're trying hard to make sure we get everybody on our platform from every island. Last week we had Miss Lewis, Jermaine Lewis from Antigua. We're trying to get some more people from St. Kitts, from Nevis. I spoke with Bramley. I think he's coming on. He's trying to get on. Most of the time, people, when they can't come on, it's because of a time change, or they have so much program. The thing is, the people that we actually communicate with are still working with youngsters. They're still working with youths. So a lot of time, they get off after their program and after they're doing all their work with youths. They get off like at 9, 9:30, 9:50, got to jump in their car, have to get to where they have to get to. So we kind of understand that situation because me, myself, you know, this evening I had some private lesson that I had to do on the baseball side as well. I make sure I had to get here in the studio and make sure I have a conversation with everybody. So we are really trying to make sure that everything in place and we got stuff going the way it should be going. Waiting for Dixon to roll in. Also, like I said, later on, we have Dr. Rhoda Arundel. She will be on, talk about her book, and we go from there. One of the things I also wanted, I think last week we had I end the conversation about the way the islands operate. And I think a lot of times each island have a different culture. Even though we are Caribbean culture, each island have their own culture. And I say that to say this. Most of the island folks, I went to St. Croix, St. Thomas, even St. Martin, they play their sports based on the U.S. weather. I don't think that's how it should be, because we get sunshine in St. Martin, I mean, in a Caribbean island, almost 12 months a year. So I think they should cater towards their seasons rather than and go ahead and do the Caribbean, American season. We don't have winter down there, so you don't have to stop playing sports. You know, we don't have all that stuff. So keep playing. Because the more reps you get, the more you put in, it's better. You're going to better your athletes. I also noticed that, and I talked about this last week, and I want to go back and reiterate a little bit on what I meant by this and what I just meant by what I just said, is that we have to actually know our culture and know where we are as Caribbeans. You go to like right now in St. Martin, they have baseball teams out of school. They call them school ball. When I was a little guy growing up, many, many moons ago, it wasn't that. We didn't have school leagues, because school leagues is not the Caribbean way. And I say that, and I keep saying that it is not the Caribbean way. I think each island, as the island I was raised in, we were more passionate about representing where we're from. There is cities like St. Peter's, South Reward, Cahill, Kobe, Middle Region, Sucker Garden, Downtown. Each player represent where they're from, and their passion to represent those areas was so much more competitive than to go to school. And not only that, when you're in the schools, you have teachers coaching the ball players. Where if you take the ball players and represent each city, I don't even know if they call it cities in the island, but if you go and you represent cities, you can get some of the best players that play the game and teach your kids the game to become better players. You have teachers, and a lot of the teachers, they're just, you know, they're YouTube coaches. They have no idea what it is to coach a team. They don't know what's going on. So that's the difference between what we're doing, what we're talking about. Now, if I talk to Dixon, when Dixon come on, I can talk to Dixon a little bit even about Jamaica. You can't just think that because it happened in one place, it's going to happen another place. I personally think that talking to Ms. Jermaine Lewis last week, and we talk about, I think Liat was getting back on the air, Liat Airways is getting back in the air to fly in the Caribbean island again. Those are things that needed, because it's really, really crazy to me that when you, especially trying to play sports and you can't travel freely from island to island. You can't even hop from island to island because there is no inner island airways that you could jump from St. Martin to go to St. Croix to go to a different place, St. Kitts. And it's hard, man, because that's why it's so hard to compete. Back as me as a kid growing up, or young man growing up, we jump on an airline called Windward Island Airways. We go from St. Martin to St. Croix, and we play there. ALM it was at that time. ALM, I think it was an ALM and a KLM. We go to Puerto Rico to play ball. We go everywhere all over the world, all over the Caribbean, not world, I'm sorry, to play ball. Now it's hard to even get from island to island because the flights are becoming so expensive. You don't have airlines that's representing the Caribbean islands anymore. You got American, you got JetBlue, you got Frontier, you got all that stuff, but those are not Caribbean airlines. So it's hard for us to bounce from island to island, and that to me handicap what you can do even in sports on the island. And if you stop doing the things that you're doing and say to yourself, this is how we're going to do certain things, I think that's how it should work, rather than emulate another. Like I said, even though we're Caribbean islands, each of us have different culture. Even the food, You know, I would sit down and eat some oxtail and rice. I know it's originally from Jamaica. I eat some roti. I know it's originally from Trinidad. You know, so we all have a different foods that we eat. So why do you think that we're going to do, we should do everything the same? You know, we should change up how we do things. Say, the Little Island of St. Martin, stop following the U.S. The U.S. have millions and millions of kids to play high school, college, baseball, or sports, basketball. It's the same thing. In the Little Island, you don't have that. So when you dilute the kids and put them to play in school, there's nothing there. You represent the Milton Peters College. You may represent the FVPT, or the, back then the user call, or whatever it may be. But there's no pressure to represent your, where you're from. I represented where, well, I put take it back. I lived in St. Peter's as growing up as a kid, but I played for Key Hill because that's where I felt comfortable. That's where I thought the game was. And it was kind of hard for me sometimes to play baseball against where I'm from, you know, my city where I was from. But, you know, they understood. You know, and because I knew my comfortability was to play ball in Cahill, I played ball in Cahill. So I used to, you know, hitch ride and go away from where I was. But that's, my friends were there. You know, I grew up in an island, I grew up in a city called Cul-de-Sac. Cul-de-Sac is where I played. I mean, the cohesiveness that we had as ball players, where you had the former governor. The former governor of the island, everybody in St. Martin knows him as Eugene Holliday. We know him as Tom Holliday. He was a first baseman when we played. I mean, he played with us. His brother played with us. Jeffrey Richardson, Roberto Richardson, his brother Dolphy. We have so many guys that end up being where they are. They are even in the community. But we all grew up together just doing the play, but we represented where we're from. And that's the same thing I think St. Martin should go back to and represent it. Now, we're looking at so many different areas where they operate so much like a big country, a big city, and they look so much to what big cities are doing and think it's working, and it's not working. It's not working. So why go into all those things when you know that's not, I mean, you can't do the same thing over and over again and hope for a change. That's, like I said, that's insanity. You know, you're trying to do the same thing over and over and expecting something different to happen. It won't happen. You know, so what I'm saying is that every island does not operate the same. We all have different cultures. You don't emulate the United States. The United States have so many kids that they play ball. They do what they have to do. You have high school. You got JV. You have varsity high school. You got eighth grade high school. And then when you go to college, you got Division I, Division II, Division III, NAIA, JUCO. I mean, you got JUCO Division I, JUCO Division II, JUCO Division III. That's all the avenues that they have in the U.S. In the Caribbean, especially the little small island of St. Martin, you don't have that. So then it boils down to in the Caribbean island, you're going to have about four or five different organizations, and all these organizations are fighting for maybe the 200 kids that they have on the island. So why would you have three or four organizations fighting for 200 kids rather than say, you know what, let's go on a round table. Let's sit down and find out what's best for the island. Let's stop trying all to be, like they say, all be the chiefs and no Indians. Let's try to make this thing work for the youngsters. I think I spoke with Ryan, and it's so funny, it seemed like it was yesterday, but 5-6 years ago, I started heading up a Piper Davis organization to go down to St. Martin, start baseball, because at that time baseball stopped playing for 10 years or more. I could be wrong, but it's more 10 years or more. And I went down because that's where I grew up. That's where I learned to play baseball. That they gave me the opportunity to become a professional athlete. So I went down, try to get them to to be open to the idea of, hey, you know, let me come down and bring some people down. I got nothing but rejection. Got nothing but the rejection. Even people in the government office rejected us. But I didn't give up. But I keep going. I keep going back. I even had tournaments that we, every year, for 3 years, we went down and have a tournament. I thought it was successful. Because of that, they end up some young men, man. I mean, some young men had the opportunity to start their own league, and they it's called the Pelican League. It started 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I would say. And now I spoke to the leader of the Pelican League, and it seemed like Pelican League is no longer. They voted in some people to take over the sports on the island. And I think they shut it down. I remember even last year before the carnival, they had the league going and they shut the league down and start back after carnival, which everybody understood, hey, this is what we're going to do. And then when you look at what's going on, you look at they shut the down, and this is what they're saying. Maybe we'll have a competition in June. Maybe in June. No longer this is when it's going to start. This is what we're going to do. And that because, and I'm telling you this, and me, I'm one of those people who hit you right between the eyes. St. Martin is a, and I only can talk of St. Martin because that's where where I was raised. The people that's in sports, the old heads like myself, need to step aside. Not just step aside, but it also needs to allow people to come in and revamp the whole baseball, sports. Or maybe soccer, which is football, they call it, is doing well. Basketball, I'm not sure. Cricket is the only thing on soccer right now, the only thing I see that's doing something on the island. Back then, cricket and soccer were secondary. Baseball was a primary sport. Now baseball is tertiary; is that they not even secondary anymore. So those are the things that you have to look at, and why these things are happening. I have no idea, but it's happening. Hey, you listen to CRS Radio, Sports Chat, and more. You want to call in, have conversation. 661-467-247. That's 661-467-247. And again, going back to what I'm talking about, you got to understand that the youth is, you know, everybody talk about the youth, you know, you talk it, but you don't show it. And going back to me taking a team with the Piper Davis organization, you know, when I joined them, they, you know, the first thing I told them, I said, if I'm going to join the Piper Davis organization, you have to work and try to help me bring St. Martin baseball back to life. And the leader of the organization was, or still is, Fred Plump. And Fred Plump said, hey, you got my attention, let's do it. He came down with me, paid his own hotel, paid his own flight. I mean, this man did not ask for any help and anything. I went down to St. Martin 1 year, and I connected with a gentleman, Jeffrey Richardson. Jeffrey Richardson put effort after effort after effort to help. I told Jeffrey Richardson, I said, listen, man, I'm bringing down, you know, three people as professional coaches. I'm bringing them down. All I need is the feel and also to have the kids there. You know, we're not charging them anything. We just want them to be there. He spoke with, and I'm not going to mention any name, he spoke with someone. And that person told him, no problem, I got you. And do you know that it never came to pass? They actually lied to him. And the reason why they lied to him and the kids suffer is because they had a situation because something I said or something that they didn't like that I said stopped the whole process of these kids. And then this is what I'm talking about. You can't do that. It's something you cannot do. You can't have these kids suffer because of a personal vendetta against anybody. The youngsters is who we're talking about. So we got to work, man. We got to work hard and make things happen. and move forward. You know, the only way these teams these kids can progress is if you put your ego aside. I remember one time I told somebody in St. Martin, I said, I don't have an ego. Everybody have to put the ego. He said, oh, you have an ego because you're talking about you play ball and you this, you that. That's not an ego. That's me giving you my resume. You know, it's a difference between an ego and a resume. I'm telling you, that's my resume. Yes, I played ball in St. Martin. I left St. Martin as a young kid. And when I left there doing what I have to do, you know? So within a year and a half, I was on the major league roster. Yeah, I can tell you that. That's my resume, you know? So I just want to hold on a second. This gentleman just walked in the room just now. I don't know. I think he stumped his toe a little bit. So let me see what's going on with him. What's up, man?
Yo, man, I just have to stop off. Why? I hate telling people lies. You're from St. Martin, man. You're not from St. Martin.
Hey, you know what? I'm not from St. Martin.
Yes, you're not.
I'm but not.
Everybody, you always,
I was raised there. I was born in St. Kitts, right?
But why can't find no skeets in St. Martin? I went to St. Martin a couple times.
Hey, we have a lot of skeets in St. Martin. They left a lot. I left a couple there too, you know, and there's a lot of skeets.
Hey, you left a couple there when you was young. You got the mail. Hey, when you signed the MLB contract, you got a mail in the mail saying you are my daddy.
Yeah. you know where the skeets are from, man? The skeets are from Barbados, the island of Barbados.
Oh, from Barbados.
The skeets originated in Barbados. My grandfather left Barbados, went to the island of Nevis. And then my mother is from St. Kitts. He went to Nevis because he was a captain on a ship. He went to Nevis. You know, he was a player boy. They call him St. Martin Dude Boy. I don't know. So he got in touch with my mom, had children with my mom. At the age 5, he moved us to St. Martin. So all I know is St. Martin. That's age 5. I mean, all I know is St. Martin. So when I play ball, it was St. Martin. I learned to play ball in St. Martin, and I got what I got from St. Martin. So when I left
you adopted St. Martin is your hometown.
Yeah, but you're not from Jamaica. You're from Poughkeepsie, New York.
I adapted Poughkeepsie as my hometown. That's what's on the back of the baseball. Yeah, on the back of the baseball cards, it said Poughkeepsie, New York. I don't know why they said that. That junk. Yeah.
Hey, hold on
yeah,
a second,
yeah.
Man.
Yeah, I adapted Poughkeepsie, New York from Jamaica. You know, I leave Jamaica, and they like, people say, where you from? Where you grew up? So I guess the difference with us, you got to say, when somebody say, where you from? You from St. Martin or you from Jamaica? But they say where you grew up at? Nah, in New York, man. So they be like, damn, you New York or Jamaican? Nah, I mean,
yeah,
I am what I am, man. I ain't gonna never give that up, man. I'm Jamaican, man.
Okay, tell us the. I may remember years ago when we were in a clubhouse. You gave us a joke about you were in New York when you were playing ball. And they were laughing at you. You give us that.
Oh man, that's. I tell you, when you look back, man, and see now these kids are, man, they soft like butter, man. Everybody's like, they're bullying you. They're bullying everybody. They're like, I'm like, bullying you? I mean, what do you mean bullying? Kid calls your name and tease you because you're black or you're from Jamaica. That's not bullying. That's just back then that make you tough. It's called teasing. You make you tougher. So me, from Jamaica, me and my cousins, like, they used to tease all Jamaican boys, this and that. So we started playing sports. You know, they wanted us to play. I got picked last because it's like, shit, you know, I'm the new kid. And then I started playing, got better. So as time went on, I got better at baseball, you know what I'm saying? Got drafted. I went to college first, went to college. And my friend from Poughkeepsie, New York, said, hey, come to this school, Norfolk State. You know, we went to school there. Then me and him turned the school out, you know, got drafted, whatever. So my first thing I did, I got my first little check, a little bonus check. I went back home to Poughkeepsie. All the kids used to tease me. Jamaica boy, I took him out to lunch, man. Took him out to eat. I said, you know what? If it wasn't for y'all teasing me, I wouldn't be the nigga I am today.
But let me ask you this. Do you think that teasing make you stronger, make you a better person?
I think if it's come at you a certain way. I mean, you're not trying to, you know, diminish nobody's, it's not like you say, you're talking about, hey, your mom is a this, and she works, you know, on the corner. I mean, as far as you as a person, somebody says, oh, man, you ain't no good. You can't hit the ball. You know what I'm saying? To me, that makes you want to try hard to hit the ball, make you want to try to run faster, because growing up in Jamaica, you race and you lose. The guy beat you, you come back tomorrow and keep racing. I mean, it's like you don't go and cry and say, Mommy, Johnny beat me today. It's like, well, you keep practicing, and then next week you challenge Johnny again in front of everybody, and you race. You just keep racing, barefooted, no foot, half a shoes, two shoes, and now you take the challenge. So nowadays, when I think it helped me, old school. I mean, nowadays as a coach, we can't even get in the kid's face and say, hey, you do, because the mom would be like, come back the next day and say, hey, why are you in my son's face? Why are you cutting him down? Why are you belittling him? It's like, no, I'm just trying to make him tough. So when they get to high school, the kid can be tougher. So I think these kids nowadays, they don't have the backbone that we had nowadays. They're just not the same, because every little thing, they go home, they say they can bully, or they say they're getting, you're being racist, or you're being some kind of bias, some kind of gender bias. You know, it's like, it's just watered down, man. It's watered down society nowadays. So, you know,
You know what the funny thing is? I couldn't go home and tell my father that somebody was teasing me. I could tell my mother that, but not my father.
Yeah.
Because
tell my mother that. Yeah.
See, my mother was soft on me. She was soft on me, but
yeah.
Not my future. You can't tell my father that. And my father looked at me and said, well, you better get out my face. You know what I'm saying? What are you talking about?
Yeah,
I was telling the kids my first year I signed with the Orioles organization. I was in rookie ball. And before I left St. Martin, I was talking to my mother, God rest her soul. And she said, Rafael, always put God first, right? And she said, you should do a prayer. You should do a prayer. She said, you should do a prayer before you play. So what I did is every time, the first two times I was put on the in the lineup, I went in the lineup and I put my head down and I stopped praying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I went back to look at the lineup, my name scratched out. I'm like, what the heck? Second game, same thing. So I told my coach, I said, but what, why are he doing this to me? Coach say, let me ask you. You know what he said? He wasn't ready. He's scared. I said, no, I'm not scared. I'm praying. He didn't know I was praying. You know
what I'm saying? He's not ready, huh?
Hey, D, hold on 1 second, man. Hold on 1 second. You listen to CRS Radio, Sports Chat, and more. If you want to call, give us a call at 661-467-247, man. We're here. We're having a good time. And we go from there. We got a 301 on. We also got Ms. Rhoda waiting. She's waiting in the wings. But let me get the 301.
You're listening to Rafael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with Sports, Chat, and More.
Area code 301, how are you today?
Hey, I'm fine. You're speaking to the top, Rafael.
Hey, who's this?
Hey, I'm here. Listen, top.
Oh, wait, don't go anywhere, man. Stay there. Hey, Rhoda, are you here?
Yes, I'm listening. Oh, my goodness. Good evening.
Rhoda, what's up?
Hi, top. Hi, good
how you
evening,
doing?
Everybody.
Hey, Rhoda.
Hey. And condolences to you, D.
Oh, thank you, baby. Thank you, baby.
Let's have a conversation with tell us a little bit about Julian Richards, man. Just tell us a little bit about who you are.
Yeah, Julian Richards. Yeah, yeah. He was born in Aruba, but grew up on the island of St. Martin. St. Martin, where we played some ball, played some beautiful ball down in St. Martin. You know, so but like I say, I spent a lot of time in St. Martin. After that, I received a scholarship, went to the States, and studied physical education. Got my master's in health education, bachelor's in physical education. I taught 15 years at Milton Peters College before returning to the United States, and I've been over here now teaching about since 2000, so that's 24 years I've been up here. And I was just honored at my school the gym is named after me, Julian Richards Gym. So, you know, years to come, you know,
like that.
You come up to the
like
stage,
that.
That'll be Julian Richards right there. So all my accomplishments that I did, you know, I was rewarded for the wonderful things working with the kids. And I want to touch back a little bit on what your host was saying there a while ago about the kids. You got to get into the mindset of the kids. The young kids today, it's not like old school. We can't deal with them old school. You know, you have to think just like them. You know, you have to get into the mindset. If you don't get in there, you ain't no way you're going to have a breakthrough. You know, I've been doing that now for about 24 years up here, and I specialize in the young elementary school. I did that for 14 years. And it was a process. You know, in the beginning, you know, you try to be tough, but it doesn't work that way. Sometimes you just got to sit down and break them down because I think you're not listening most of the time. And so you just got to sit down and say, yeah, I'm listening to you. I hear you. I see what's going on, you know, and they'll be cursing. And then you just break them down, talk softly to them. And they don't understand because at home, they're getting screamed at. They're getting cursed at, you know, so different things like that. So you just have to use different methods, you know, to get a breakthrough. And once you see that, once you learn their world, it's an easy going.
But you know what the funny thing, though? I got to call you Top. I know you're Top. It's it's funny because when I no matter what people tell me on the baseball field, oh, you're good, you can do this, and oh, you're great. But when I get home, I was Rafael. My mother humbled me. I still got to wash dishes. I still got to sweep the yard. I mean, it's nothing changed. Anybody can say what they want, but a lot of it, like Dixon just said, the parents have a lot to do with it. Because when you sit around, if, no matter how you feel as a parent, you feel about a player or coach or whoever it may be, keep it out of the ears of the kids, because they're gonna bring their attitude, that same attitude, to the field. You understand?
Yep.
They start hearing about a coach, and they start hearing about this and start hearing about that. They bring it to the field, and then you go, wait a minute. You know, the kid now have this attitude sometime against either a coach or another player for no reason, because mom and dad was talking about that. You know, when my daughter plays volleyball, very good volleyball player, I've never one time, like, say, coach don't know. I would say, hey, I see the coach working on you with this. This is what you need to work on. Let's go outside. I'll do this. Let's go outside. Because there's no way I'm going to say, oh, she don't know what she's talking about. He don't know what he's talking about. You know, and a lot of times, but baseball is the only sport, and Dixon can attest to this, is the only sport that dads think they know best.
Yeah, that is the problem. We had a recent incident up here where I think one of the coaches, one of the parents, and was trying to fight one of the coaches and stuff like that. But like I say, each father thinks the kid is the best. But they forget you need those fundamentals. It's just like building a house. If you don't have that strong foundation, you know, your house will crumble sooner or later. And how it came in season, once you have a strong foundation, you know it's not going anywhere. You know, so that we have to learn now to educate the kids, you know, and teach them and just change their mindset. Okay? The mindset has to be changing. Let me tell you a little secret about what I'm working on down in St. Martin, because I'm working on your brother, Tendell Skeet. I'm trying to farm. I don't know if he told you. You know, we're trying to farm a little league down there. Maybe we take it to the next level, because right now, they're just fooling the kids. You understand? There ain't no sense of taking the kids away and stuff like that, and they're not ready. You know, I believe in Rhoda can tell you, doing volleyball, if I say you're not ready, I'm not going with you. You know, you have to make sure that you're practicing hard, that you're working on your weaknesses, you know, not only your strengths, you know, you work on your weaknesses and you build yourself up. And not only that, you want to go away to compete, not to take part in a competition.
Yeah, that's
true. I don't believe in taking part in competitions.
Let me give you a little bit about talking about Tindell. I spoke with Tindell last week, and he said that he got on the baseball field. He was helping, Williams.
I know what you're talking about.
And, yeah, he said what he told, I think four or five kids was messing up, and he told them, you're going to do it again or you're going to run. One of the kids looked at him and said, I'm not running. He said, I'm not running.
Yep.
And you know that boy did not run. So that comes down to another thing is the culture of the sport there is now, they have to change it. They do have to
That's what I was telling Tendell, because I was trying to form a team together where I had Boy Coates on the program last week Saturday. So I was thinking about Boy Coates, Marvin Bubbitree, all of y'all played overseas. So it's time now to give back all the knowledge that we have. Like I'm retiring this year, you know, and then I said all the knowledge that we have, we're supposed to go back now and educate those little young ones. You know, start and educate also the parents. If they don't want to get in on the action, you know, tell the kid he's not coming back. Because that's what, if I go back home, that's how I would run my program down there.
But you know what?
You
I think you're going to hit a wall. You hit a wall. In this,
I don't care, Raphael. I heard that, you know. A lot of people are going to say that in the beginning, you know.
Right,
but
that's what's initial.
What they do down there, yeah. What they do down there, okay, they have the kids that not coming to practice and he's still playing.
Correct.
You know, he is still playing. He could come and curse the coach out and he's still coming back and play in your lineup. Ain't no way. You understand? How is things that Curacao? Curacao is more advanced right now, have people in the major leagues and all sort of stuff. Discipline starts from home. You know, if you don't have that discipline, you're not going anywhere. Down in Curacao, you come there, you curse, you tell you don't come back, you lose your chance. And ain't no second chance down there. You know, understand? And that's the kind of thing we have to build.
It boils down to acceptance. The community accept the guys who went away and play the game and bring it and come back. They accept them. They accept their changes. They accept their teaching. They accept all that stuff. We got a problem in St. Martin, man. We got a problem in
St.
Martin.
Of course we do. But there's a way, like I said, there's a way around that, Raphael. We go the hard way, you see, and we push back. Sometimes I think we push back too hard and in the wrong direction. You understand? You just got to stay the course, you know. And like I say, my father came from St. Kitts, my mother from Nevis. So, you know, we grew up humble. You understand? We grew up humble and manners and respect take you all over the world without a cent. You know that.
Yes.
Sometimes you're hungry and then you go someplace and, you know, you really need the food, but you said no thank you. And then afterwards you eat. Stomach is full because you're humble and, you know, respected. You know, you've been taught respect at home. And like I said, manners and respect take you all over the world without a cent.
Yes,
Mr. Tom, can I deject something real quick, sir?
Yeah. Yeah,
I've been on the journey with Steve for 2 years in St. Martin. First, finally got me to St. Martin. I like the island. I'm doing the same thing in Jamaica. But what I've noticed with me and Steve is not only the kids. We get a lot of pushback from the people that's there in the island. I mean, Steve have more problem with that, the kids on there. Because when you get there, the kids respect them. It's the people that's there that's bucking what he's trying to do or they have an answer because they're not the one doing it. It's like some of them out of town is coming there. Oh, you know what you're doing now. You leave the stage, you come and you want to run. And I'm saying, so a lot of problems we get, Broder's there to help us, and she see we went through. It's not the kids all the time. It's just the way the guys that run the park, that run that field over there, they don't want to, you know, sometimes when we're on the field, they're acting funny. We can't get them to work with us together. So it's just like always like a separation of you know, I don't want to say power, but a separation of the game for the kids. I don't know. I mean, I don't know if you think that's going to be different when you get there, you think, or have you noticed that from other people that's been doing it? Or
no, that's
tell you
definitely. Yeah, go ahead, Rhoda.
No, oh, good night. Congratulations on the naming of the gym to you.
Thanks. Thank you.
You're making some very valid points, but as someone who works directly on the ground and has worked with organizations from outside, and I think Dixon sort of alluded to that there when Pop said sometimes a lot of it has to do, number one, with the approach, number two, with the person, the personality of the persons that you're dealing with. And if you don't know, and Skeet mentioned a good point at the beginning, this whole idea of egos. There are a lot of egos at all levels, and all of us as humans, we have that. And the question, sometimes you have to find yourself working around other people's egos to be able to accomplish what you want to accomplish. And I'm with you, Top, when you say stay the course. If you believe in what if you believe in what you're doing and you believe in the bigger time, it's a matter of sometimes, you know, just saying the right thing to the person.
Yeah, it's just a breakthrough.
But,
yeah.
Right. That's your breakthrough to do what you need to do and get done what you need to do. I get a lot of resistance, but I also know how to push doors down. And
yeah.
That's how I get through what I'm doing. A lot of it is that,
yeah.
and let's be honest, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, and I've had that exact same experience, when you come back to the island, a lot of us, when we come back, you know, and I don't think we do it intentionally, but this is a reality, we come across as if we know, our knowledge is more valid than the knowledge that's there, right? And sometimes people don't accept that. And while we may not mean to come across like that, it comes across as if you think you know better than the people who are here doing the work. And I think once you sit around the table and you start to have dialogue and you start to have a, you find out that, you know, it's really small things, small issues that are preventing people from moving forward. But I believe has to do with approach and egos and all of that. But if you know how to, if you know the characters that you're dealing with, you're able to get what you want done.
Yeah, I think, hold your order, like I said, I've been over here a long time now, and it has a lot to do with psychology and different things.
Yeah.
Like you said,
absolutely.
The approach, you know, understand? And like I said, I watched some of the kids down there that were training. I watched Omar, he's doing a wonderful job. But like I say, they need a lot of help.
Yeah.
They need a lot of help, and it has to be taken to the next level. And the only way you can take it to the next level by having, you know, a good organization. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Tied in, especially like I say, Raphael, if you come back home and I'm down here, you know, ain't no way. They can talk all they want and stuff like that.
Exactly.
I don't care. I don't care whatever they talk. I don't need them. You need them.
Yep.
You understand? But at a sense, you don't have to rely on them.
You also need to let them feel valued, right? Like even if it's 2 cents they bring to the conversation, that what they're bringing has some value and how you can help them to build on what they already have. You know, it's not like you're trying
you
to...
But you see, it's
going to
be difficult, again, Rhoda, because the level now that Raphael is on, you know, it's difficult to go backwards. You're trying to pull people up the ladder and they're trying to pull you down.
Right,
that's like
you
a crab mentality. That's why you're not going down.
And you know what, Top? You hit the nail right on the head. It's hard. Very hard for me to go down and say to myself, okay, let me deal with the situation they're dealing with.
Yep.
Because for years, I've been at a high level of coaching and teaching. And it's hard for me to just, Dixon can tell you, when I go down, I don't go down there and think I'm the best thing that's since sliced bread. But I let them know that I've been there and I know what it's like being there. So I'm going to give you step by step of what it's feel like to be there. Example, when my brother Tindell, talking about Tindell, when Tindell took the team to Curacao, won the championship.
I talked about last week.
Yeah, the first thing he did is when that night came, these guys were getting dressed to go out and party.
They ain't going nowhere.
And he walked in the room and said, if any one of you guys leave here, you are not playing tomorrow. And he
walked
out. Discipline. And those guys did not go anywhere, and they won the championship. But what happened, Top and Rhoda, they stopped baseball. Like right now, the Pelican League is not even no longer. Pelican League was rejuvenating baseball, and now they're not because of other entities that come in to stop that process, to start another process. You can't stop a process or start a process. Don't fix it because it's going well. Leave it alone.
Yeah.
Right. But coming back to what you said about Raphael, what I was saying is that, you know, you don't need to go backwards. But when you leave, when Top leaves, when whoever it is that comes in that leaves, the show must go on, right? And
yeah, you need someone there.
Right.
Yeah.
You're going to depend on people on the ground to carry out what your vision is. And
right.
they they, you know, whether you call it ego stroking or not, you will need to depend on them to get the work done. So it's a matter of saying, I see you, I know you lack some skills here, and let me help you in this area so that as a program be successful. And I think that's sometimes what it is. And I don't think you yourself personally come across as if maybe you're better, but that's how it's perceived, because people who are insecure sees anything from outside as a threat. And
you're perfectly right with that.
The thing is, Top have a different kind of schooling than I did. Top can go and do this psychology and I don't have that. For instance, I go down with Dixon to go to Jamaica. It's going to be one thing where I know that those kids are going to be bright-eyed, bushy-tail. They're willing to work. I know that because they want something.
Yeah.
You go. What St. Martin now is doing is that they're looking at the way the U.S. runs their thing, and they think it can easily happen. It don't happen that easy. It's like I was having a conversation. I think I had a conversation with Rhoda a couple of days ago about the way the way we grew up playing the game. It used to be Phillipsburg against Cahill against Mill Region against
Gardens.
That's where success was at one time.
Yeah.
When you start putting school, you put in the school teams. Who is coaching the school teams?
No.
Guys who don't know the game. So they're just doing it to put a uniform on the kids and putting them out there look pretty. That's it. Like a Christmas tree. You plug it in, look pretty, plug it out, nothing. That's what it is.
Yeah.
So Dixon, listen to what we're talking about. What's your step? What's your step that you think that you would take to the whole Jamaican?
Can I add something, if you don't mind, before Dixon?
Sure.
When you and Raphael, remember, Jamaica is much bigger, right? When you and Dixon go to Jamaica, remember, Raphael, in Jamaica, you're an outsider. Nobody knows you. And
so,
they treat you.
This
is psychology that Top is talking about.
Yeah, correct.
People think they know you, right? They think. They may not. You've been away for a very long time. They think they know you. And it's not the children that are not bushy-eyed and want something, because the kids will always want something. It's the adults that work with the kids who have these egos that you have to bypass to be able to work with the kids. That's part of the problem.
Yeah. That's why you have that wonderful young man down there, like I say, Omar Williams, directly work with the kids. So they will, like I say, again, you team up. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
With our knowledge and stuff like that, we get in, like from the ground, and then we shake it up. You know, we educate them, you know, and like I say, it's like a 5-year plan we could have, you know, to make this thing happen. Because, like I say, ain't no stopping, because you say Raphael was playing last year. Where's Raphael this year? No, he doesn't play anymore.
Exactly.
You know? Then you say, Raphael has so much potential. How do you mean he doesn't play anymore? You know, he just stopped playing. So where's the motivation?
He got a job. He has to help his mom. You know, that's the reality. Also, you know, who's looking out for him when he has to quit baseball to go work in a hotel, strange hours of the night. Now he can't play any baseball anymore.
All of those things, you know, you got to take into consideration and put it on the paper.
Mr. Tom, I'm going to be in for Rude Awakening. I mean, I think all across the country, it's Jamaica and St. Martin. I vision it the same way we both, because Ski played pro ball, I played pro. So 10 years ago, when I went to Jamaica I said, you know what? Oh, I'm from Jamaica. I play pro ball. These kids, you know, people's going to open. And like Rhoda said, you know, the kids is not the issues. Other people that say, oh, you just want to come here a couple of days out the year and take all the credit. Mm-hmm. You go on the radio station. You're on the TV. You bring stuff to the kids.
Yeah, that's
Memphis. Envy and jealousy. I mean, even if you're trying to do stuff, they'll buy into you, but behind you, they really, you know, when you go on, they talking about you. I'm in the States. They say, oh, Dixon came in. And the same with Skeeter. He leaves the same morning. They're on the road to bash him. So people that may think it's easy, I took some guys that in the States down there, and they'd be like, they thought it's going to be easy. You go down there, boom. I mean, and they realize, yo, I mean, it's really, like you said, it's a job. It's something we got to continue to do, find somebody to continue, work the ground. You're not there financially. have money to give the coaches because the coaches can't afford the bus ride to go see the kids they're training. So that's the issue. You got to have, you know, you got you got to find some way to supply them that they got money, either buy the kids water on Saturdays when they're practicing, buy them some sandwich, you know, buy bread, let them make some. I mean, it's just, you know, people think it's going, you know, it's always, you know, but like you said, not the kids. The kids loving it, but it's always the adults that think they know the game or they don't like the skis coming down there and getting stuff done, and they're there on the island and not getting nothing done. You know, that's the
issue. No, you got to go back to what Rodo was saying, you know, really, because the thing, yeah, he has an ego. All of us, like you said, Rodo, all of us have an ego. I have an ego. You have an ego. You understand? But you have to learn to weave your way through those people and just brush, put them on your shoulder and brush them off. I know it's going to be tough, Raphael, because a lot of them, you come back home and they're looking at you. Yeah, he think he know it because he played in the,
right.
I know that.
Yeah,
we know all of that. But I say to hell with all of you. That's my mentality. Yeah, when I get back home, you know, but I can focus on the youth. You can focus on the youth, but you need, like Rhoda said, you need continuous working. Now, when we leave, the show must go on. You understand? I'm not going to stay, okay, I'm going to probably work 6 months down there, 6 months up here, but the show must go on. You must have people in place to continue the work that you started. And it has to be consistent the same way, the same values that you put in. It has to run the same way. Otherwise, it's not going to work. Otherwise, it's just going to fall apart.
Yep. You guys have an advantage. You have an advantage because you guys have a lot of baseball players there that have played. See, Jamaica, we don't. So, I mean, it's like you said, you're going to be there for 6 months on time. That's a good thing. But you got to find the ones that really on your team that really have your best interest. They might say, oh, give me the job, leave me a couple of dollars, and you go for 6 months. But would they be doing the job that you expect them to do? I'm saying you got to find that they – because people smile on your face like, oh, I like what Ski's doing. And soon as Ski leaves, like, bump that nigga, man. I ain't do. You know what I'm saying? So you just really just
no, but like I say, I have the guys in place. Sorry for cutting you off.
Right,
I have the guys in place. Like I say, Raphael could tell you about his brother, okay? And I spoke to Tendell about an hour on the phone before I got down and even before I left, okay? Tendell is very serious. I spoke to Marvin. Marvin is very serious.
Right.
He spoke to Boyko, very serious, but they want things in place that people think in the same way. The same way, and like I say, with all of us put it together, like I say, with my approach, their thing, everybody have a different job to do. You understand?
Yep.
So once you put that team together, you understand whether it's psychology I have to do, I could do a lot of things. I have a lot of experience picking up what you're doing wrong. You know, this way the tone, you know, all sort of stuff. You know, but we got to get everybody on the same page, right people in place. And like I say, we build an organization and we keep building it. Because like, Raphael, just telling you, Skate, I used to watch Skate, his brother, train those guys on the field every time I used to go to school in the morning. And I told him that, you know, a week ago. I said, I used to watch you, and I really admire what you were doing, you know, because I used to do my track and field, whether it was baseball, I go train baseball, soccer, volleyball at night and stuff like that, a lot of stuff. But I really admired Tendell. You know, early in the morning, he'll have those kids there, you know, running, training, you know, ball pass, you know, catching, throwing, all sort of stuff. But that's building what should I say, you're building a bond with these kids.
Well, yeah,
you know, you build that bond with these kids, and they respect you. You put on your rules.
I tell you something about Tendell that you probably already know, but this guy know baseball. He's a heck of a coach. He's a
inside.
I went down with Tim Martin probably about a couple of years ago, and I put him to the test. And he didn't know us, and I kind of put him to the test, and I say something, and he went bam, 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 and I look at him and I said, "Yeah, you my brother, boy. I was testing you." And I said, I'm impressed. And he was like, man, I didn't know any play. I study it, you know?
Can I
say
something else?
Go ahead.
You may not know this, right? But just like how Dixon said, there are going to be some people who, like, whether you call them haters or not, there are people who deeply admire you, who are converts and who believe. They may not be able to vocalize it, but they tell other people about you and about your work. And
that's good.
And that's no small feat. That's because of the work that you've been doing. So you have to have faith that there are some that are going to be converts and that are going to be willing to work with you. And you know, as they would say, the trash will take itself out. Some people are going to fall by the wayside, but as Top is saying, is the
yes.
team is strong. And if the principles yep. are there for all to follow, and as a team, you know what you're working towards in terms of the bigger goal, you must succeed. You must.
Yep.
We do a little thing here. We do listen to
Definitely.
CRS Radio Network, Caribbean Radio Station. Listen to Sports Chat and more. We're giving you and more right now. But I just want, and if you want to call in, call 661-467-2407. Got a lot of people are on board. If you want to ask questions, man. The thing is that Dixon was right, but I understand what you guys are saying. See, sometimes. It's hard because sometimes I get broken heart when I have my own travel ball academy. I got 11U, 12U, 13U, 14, 15, and 16U. And when I see these kids play, enjoy themselves, win or lose, but because I know I touch them, I always say to myself, boy, don't I wish I was in St. Martin doing this? And it breaks my heart to know, and it's really not the kid. And I was talking the other day, you know, it's funny because when I was growing up, the 8 foot tall baseball players was the Calvin Brooks, the now the Jacobs, those guys, the Richardson, those are 8 feet tall to me. And I was talking years ago, I was talking to the Calvin Brooks grandson, and he was looking at me like I was talking about a ghost. He don't even know about his grandfather.
No, they don't know.
It's funny how, you know what I mean? These kids, I always say this, and I'm always going to say that if you don't know your past, you would never know what your future looked like. And people say about ego, when I talk to people, I would go down to St. Martin and just sit down and talk, and all over here, but man, this guy was just as good as you, Skeet. I don't care how good he was as me, how good he thought he was. Me, you know what I'm saying? I don't care about that. What I care about is I would love to see somebody in St. Martin got higher level than I did. That would make my day, believe it or not.
Yeah.
That would make my day. I made that major league roster. I played some major league ball. I want somebody to do more than I did. Let me finish up my conversation in my lifetime.
Make it happen. No one else is going to make it happen. You make it happen.
In my lifetime.
Yeah,
but I tell you, hey, I wish Top. I'll be there. Anytime you need me, I'll be there when you.
Perseverance, man. Perseverance. Yeah. I believe in perseverance.
Is it Tom?
T-O-P.
T-O-P.
Top, like Top Gun.
Hey, Top, he from Jamaica. You know they call people different names, man. He from Jamaica. Jamaica don't have Top.
Hey, you know, we was a little kid. Our Top was a little gig we had. You know, the Top was a gig. You know, we used to spend the gig when we was a little kid in Jamaica.
We all know that. I was the best son. That's what they call me, Top.
You don't know, Skeet got about 10 brothers and sisters. You know how all the Skeet's not my favorite Skeet in the family. You don't know that who's my favorite Skeet in the family is. You don't know, do you?
I know all the Skeets, man. I know all the Skeets and played against all the Skeets, so he can tell you.
Well, Rafael's like number 3 on my Skeet list. I mean, you know, Tindell's number 1. Tindell's my favorite Skeet. So Tindell's my man. I mean, not just because he's married a Jamaican lady, but he's just my man. You know, he's just. He's a real good guy. No, for real. Because I mean, when he came down,
I know.
You know, he came to Alabama and with the kids in the tree. I mean, we sit there and watch him, man. And he's like, he was so pumped up to be back because he didn't want to get back in. A couple years ago, Skeet kind of forced him back in it. And then I think when he got in and came to Alabama, he was so excited he came, man. He was like. So you can tell when somebody like that gets back in and you see the juice in their face, you know they really like the game, man. You know,
and that's a guy. That's a guy. Say Martin should never let go. They should have had this guy year after year, taking and working with these kids. Because after a while, he got very disappointed and he got lackluster because he didn't feel as if they were giving him the opportunity to help these kids. So he walked away. Boyko, was another guy you needed. He walked away from the game. So if you get those guys back, you get them back. The only way, like Mervin Bubba Twee stayed in the game because his son, you know what I'm saying? But if you get those guys to work with you and get these guys, you got some coaches.
I tell you, I had a whole thing, a whole conversation with these guys, Raphael. And like I say, it's a vision. It's a vision we have, and you have to buy into the vision. You have to believe. Believe in order for you to achieve, like Rhoda said. You understand? If you don't believe, it's not going to happen. You understand?
And
that's Rhoda that tells you don't make it happen, make it happen. But
the other thing, Pop, when you mentioned the organization, because I'm sure the Tyndales and the Raphaels and the others, they ain't want to be worrying about why Tommy can't come to practice today, right? But if you have a support system, because the reality on the island is a lot of these kids don't have the same privileges as the kids that come to their academy in the U.S. You have to be aware of each situation with each child, and each one is going to be different, and you have to provide a sort of support system for that so that the coach can be successful doing his part. You know, that kid that didn't want to run, there was Tyndale out there by himself dealing with this kid, with a president of the organization who probably had by then given up on the kid anyway. But you need a support system that's going to make it so that Tommy knows that he must run or he won't be able to play. He has to know
he won't
that.
Be playing. He won't be
he
playing. That's what
that.
I say from the beginning. You lay down the groundwork, your rules and regulations and stuff like that, your policy. This is what. You know, you let them read it, let them sign it. You know, you don't abide it, then you could go elsewhere. This is not only academy on the team, but this is academy to take your son to the next level. If you want your son to go to the next level, these are the guidelines he has to follow. You understand? If you can't follow them, bye.
Volleyball academy had to sign, the parents had to sign statements, their parents had to commit, their parents had to agree by certain things so that we could be successful as an organization.
Yep.
Well, like I said,
Maya, when you were doing that thing in the auditorium, years ago, Rhoda, with volleyball, when I left, everything went downhill. You remember
when I left,
stand,
everything left. But when I walked away, everything left. But again,
you're dealing with humans.
You're dealing with humans, and you have to ask yourself.
Yeah, we're fighting. You're fighting
you
all the time.
But what do you want out of it, right? At some point, I walked away, but I also knew that I was moving on to something else. If we are saying what I'm hearing here tonight, that there's still some desire to improve baseball and there's some structure needed and you are willing to do your part and Pete and Dixon are willing to share their knowledge, it can happen. It can happen.
Definitely. That's my goal. Yeah.
That's my goal.
I can stay up here. I can stay up here and do whatever I want to do. Work wherever I want to work. You understand? But I just don't want to go back home. And
Ms. Rhoda knows the passion me and Skeet have, because I said 5 years ago, Rhoda got with Skeet, and we brought the organization, Piper Davis, down there. And we had, Rhoda had the school and the kids, and that was like one of the biggest turnout. Those 3 days games we played at the stadium, people was enjoying baseball again. And, I mean, the islands came together. And like I said, that was like so like, it's like bringing baseball back to the island. Skeet was, the fans and Rhoda had the thing going with the, and I just think, like I said, you know, it's like the separation of these leagues, the Little League, the Pony League. I mean, Ski's doing his thing with Rhoda, and then Johnny over here don't like it. So, like I said, back to it's not the kids. It's like you got to get with the people that control other leagues, Mr. Top, and get them to kind of know what you – because it's like the other ones are going to try to cut you down. It's not, you know, the guys that run the
trust
league.
Trust me, they said that your boy been down there.
Yeah.
I lived on St. Martin. Okay,
yeah.
I'm 66 years old. They can't shake me. Trust me.
Yeah.
And Raphael knows me. You understand? Ain't no way. I don't need nothing from them. I don't need a single thing from them. I use my life against them. That's what
I'm on board. If Ski's with you, I'm with you. Voters with you.
Yeah.
You got me, man. I mean, it's not like I said.
Yeah.
I told Ski we're trying to get our things together.
Somebody send me
an invitation. Voter might know about it. They sent us an invitation to bring a team from Jamaica to St. Martin. I don't know if it's in this summer, they got some high school stuff they put together, some high school league or something, and they send me a.
Dixon, I don't even think that's well thought out, man. I don't think it's well thought out because right now.
What
do you know about it? I knew about it through you. when you send me the flyer.
Okay.
Right. I'm looking at there's a thing I see on Facebook where two kids, I think from Stacia, is doing college ball. I'm not sure what it is, but what it boils down to is you have people that showing that, you know, it's more like a social media kind of a culture right now in St. Martin, which is not going to make it work. So these guys are joining all these different organizations and not wondering how they're going to put it together to put the talent on the field. You got to be able to put that product on the field first. You can't just go out and say, I got this, I got that, I got this. When people come to see what you have and you don't have it, it ruins your credibility as an athlete or as a promoter. So if you put product on the field, you put a good team, a good everything on the field. It's like I had an issue with, they had a guy coaching Little League, and Little League going out of St. Martin's, going from Aruba, going everywhere, and getting the snot beat out of them. Because they don't
that's what I'm talking about.
But that happened because I can't, and I was mad at the guy who was coaching them. I had to apologize to him after the fact. Because I tell him, man, you were trying to help the kids you didn't know. They put you in that position. You know, instead of getting Tindell or Boyko or Marvin Babatwi or Henry Thomas or instead of getting those guys, they got a guy, no hard feeling, Dixon, from Jamaica who never played baseball, coaching Little League, same one.
The guy that lived there? You mean the guy that lived on the field with his brother?
Yes.
Jamaican?
Yes.
Yeah, them kids.
Yes.
But they didn't even want us to help them. Remember, me and Ski tried to say, let us help you. They didn't even act like they even wanted to even just help them for free to get them ready for the tournament. They was acting funny.
Exactly.
I'm like,
we went down there for a tournament, right? And
yeah.
we didn't have helmets. Some of the teams didn't have helmets. So
right.
The Little League organization let us borrow their helmets. Because the Empire make a call that they didn't like. They want to take those helmets back from us. Guess what Raphael did? I sent almost 20 helmets to St. Martin right after that happened, when I got back. Because I didn't want that to happen again. You understand what I'm saying? So, I mean, you gave something. And you know how we, matter of fact, not that they wanted to take them, they took them. It was Brown. What's his name? The Pony League Brown. I can't remember. I would never remember his name.
Gabriel
Brown brought us like 8 helmets to play. And they took their helmets. And that's what I'm talking about.
Going back to my point, though. They're the egos. They're the old way of thinking. Papa was talking earlier about the new way of thinking, the new types of people that we're dealing with and the personalities. And so the question is, how do you move forward if you do want to move forward with these programs? You know, you already aware of things you're going to have to get rid of or at least ignore. But does that stop you from doing what you want to do?
I would say this, that I'm beat up, tired. I'm like a glass a windshield that's cracked in the high wind. So you don't know if I'm gonna make it. I'm not gonna make it. Simon beat me up. I'm not gonna sit here and try to pretend I'm beat up. And so it has to be a big change. For me to say, hey, I'm on board. Like I said, top enthusiasm got me. If Tindell is in, Dixon already tell me he's in. And if that happened, then I wouldn't mind giving it a shot, you know, start rebuilding again. But they beat me up. And so I was one of
those. Yeah, it would have been a bust. You either got to be in or out.
There you go.
I got you.
Yeah, in or out because I know. Okay, like I told Tindell, they don't know him down in St. Martin. They don't know Tindell. They don't know Marvin Babatwi. They don't know Boyko. You know that? All the kids, young kids don't know Boyko. They don't know Tindell. They don't know none of these guys. These guys were top players on the island.
No idea.
Any one of these days, these guys could have made it in the major league with proper guidance. You understand? Tendell's definitely with proper guidance and stuff, he would have been in the majors for sure. You understand?
Easy.
Without a doubt, ain't had nobody on the field could have picked up a ball and shot something to throw at different angles.
No.
You look at the major league today, the balls Tendell used to get, these guys, you know, didn't dream about, you know, getting those balls diving and with his athletic ability and stuff like that. He was just in a class by himself. You know,
he needed to be molded.
He
had more velo than anybody I know. That boy, I tell you who, the only person that he was close to or was close to him was Calvin Brooks. These are guys that can stay in left field and throw the ball straight home plate on a line.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
On the line.
But you see Calvin, the way Calvin used to, thing I used to play third base too, and the way Calvin and them used to train. Rafael, no good. Calvin and them will scare you to death. If you look back now, if you know, the way they used to hit the ball so hard at you and stuff like that, if you didn't have any heart and guts to stay in there, you know, ain't no way you would have been playing ball today. They run you. You understand? Yeah, that's the old school. You know,
that's why I'm so passionate about St. Martin baseball, because of the players that I play with and against, the Bubba Tweez, the Tindell, the Boy Cole, the Herman Vahanigan. I play ball against them, with them, and they're the one who prepared me to get to stay to the level that I was up in the United States, because I never had any professional training. When I got up here, the stuff that I learned as an adult, I had to learn professionally as an adult, but I already had that ability in me to do what I need to do to get going. You know, it took me a year and a half to make the major league roster. A year and a half.
You know,
from St.
One thing they didn't taught you from St. Martin, when you get to the United States, that they're going to test you. The same way you say you thought you were praying, he knows.
Yeah.
He knows you're there, ready, but he just figured you're not ready. I'm going to mess with his mind now. Let me see. I'm going to put his name. He's going to look for his name. When he come back, his name is not there. Let me see how strong real he is. Let me see if he really want to play. Let me see how his attitude is going to be, you know, if he have that coaching ability. Can he take it? You know, so they were pushing you through stuff which they didn't prepare you for when you came up. And if you look back now, you say, boy, if I really had the training to know the psychology these people are using on me, you know, and get me mad, get me upset, and they said, there he goes, you know, he's uncoachable. You can't have him in the lineup. Because, like I say, if you're not level-headed when you're playing, ain't no way you can hit that ball. You know what I'm saying? You got to be cool and collective.
Part of my career, I had bad influence around me was my roommate.
Exactly. Exactly.
Good thing I wasn't around you back then, huh? Good thing I was around you back then when you had bad influence.
No, but seriously speaking, you know,
if you really
had good guidance around you, you would have been much farther along, because they tested you, you know, and sometimes you probably might take up a helmet or a bat and throw down, and they're looking at you. They ain't tell you nothing, you know? They said, look at this guy, man. You know,
I was good at not doing stuff. I think, Dixon.
Yeah, but your attitude. No, but your attitude, your face, facial expression.
When it comes to baseball, I was very calm, quiet, especially up in
the
Excuse me?
You telling at the top, somebody wasn't with you? The guy who came back?
I know. Body language. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me. I know.
Hey, Tom, he kicked the bats on? The man would just get mad and just start breaking the bats. Yeah, he's calm.
Yeah. I know. That's what I said. We got to prepare our kids for this thing when they go abroad. You know, all the stuff that we learn back home and cussing back, talking back, you know. You don't talk back. You got to be humble, like I say. You know, you got to have respect. They're checking on you to see how far they could push you. It's like an envelope, how far I could push this envelope, you know, and have him open it, you know. So.
Well, you know, the island kids, we always have a little more better manner than these American kids. I mean, now they're getting back or they get influenced, but You know, you take the kid from St. Martin and the islands and we bring to the States, they know halfway decent behavior, how their parents want, you know, yes, ma'am, no, sir, how to conduct yourself. But like I said, it's good to, we can tell them we don't want to act as bad as the American kids they see on TV, because nowadays kids are influenced by TikTok and, you know, TV videos, and they think it's like, oh, that's how the American kids do it. So they don't forget that they're from the islands, and they can go around American kids and try to get influence. And like you said, we got to let them know, hey, they're Americans and we're from the island. We don't do things like that. You know, we act properly.
So exactly.
You're right, Mr. Todd. We got to remind them, keep reiterating in their mind that, hey,
definitely,
let them do that.
Definitely.
Yeah, let them do that. Yeah, you got to keep reminding them.
You know, like I said, they have to be educated. By the time you leave St. Martin, you're supposed to be educated and know. Because
right.
What we have to do, we're talking a lot. Like I say, the Wheel of Fortune has spun already. KSL have a nice blueprint. Okay, it's working. Aruba has a nice blueprint.
Yeah,
blueprint.
Aruba,
it's working.
Yeah,
it's working.
Yeah.
So why can't we take that blueprint and put it to work? Okay, it's the same rules and regulations, okay, that they abide, the same rules Andrew Jones, all those guys abided by, you know, and turned professional and stuff today. Like they're humble. You got to look back at who was the first black guy that made it in the major leagues? Dixon, that's your question. Question for you.
You know,
the first black guy.
That's Jackie Robinson.
The first black guy?
That's Jackie Robinson.
They used to spit on him. They used to spit on him and all kind of stuff. But
Jackie. You mean Jackie. Okay.
Yeah,
Jackie. Old
school.
So
I go back. These are the things you got to teach the young kids, because to show where he came from and where he headed. He humbled himself,
yeah,
they sat at him, they throw stuff on him, all kind of stuff, and his coaches tell him, don't worry about that, leave it alone, just walk straight, you know? We didn't have anybody to guide us.
Yeah, well, like I said, our first thing is, you know, when we get kids, like I said, the first thing is, because you got to get kids the classroom setting, you got to teach them not just, you know, you got to teach them inside and let them know, because kids need to learn from the blackboard perspective about the game, learn the game, you know, how it works, you know, because, you know, people get these kids, they want to just take them out on the field, and now you got to get them inside the classroom and know the game, because that's the thing with these kids nowadays, they don't know the game. They don't know what to do with the ball and the situation. You can't just go out to a field the first day.
Situational play.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah, we do classroom. We do travel in the States. We do that
you
classroom.
Know because you sit down. And you have your group and you throw out your situational plays. In this case, what if a guy is in center field? Okay, the shortstop is there. The ball is thrown directly to home. Where's the shortstop supposed to position? You know, so all of those things they don't know. I saw. I read
that
in the field and I saw.
Positions like that, you got to tell your player. Like, you got to do three thoughts. It's called the game within the game. You playing the game on the field, but there's a game you have to play inside your mind. If the ball hits your left, the ball hits your right, the ball hits in front of you, and that all that in your mind before the pitch is thrown up at one time. So if the ball goes to your left, you already know what you're going to do with it. If it goes to your right, you already know what you're going to do with it. If you're third base, if you're playing third base and the man in first and second and hits to your right, you go third, mash third, throw first. If you go to your left, you turn two. And so these are the things that these kids have to learn before one pitch is pitched. You don't just go and play ball and make up your mind when the ball is thrown. When you get the ball and you make your mind up, it's too late then.
You know how to get that? Through repetition. Muscle memory. You know that.
Repetition. It's a mental capability that you have to teach these kids mentally.
You got to build.
Because you know what? People say, hey, you know, I train every day. The training is every day is not your point.
What kind
the
of training? Yeah.
Training. What it is. It's
what kind
not
of training?
Just,
yeah.
Exactly. You know, so you could be training bad every day or train good every day. So it all depends on how you make it done. Hey, man, I got 10 minutes left on the show, man. I appreciate all you guys.
Rhoda, take my number, give me a call.
It's like talking at home in the backyard having a good old time, man. It's beautiful.
So give it
301
Hey, Dixon,
I guess I got the sports. I guess I want to run some of the sports for the last 10 minutes. We
got
the NBA.
Run the sports,
NBA,
man.
Yeah.
Run the sports.
I got the baseball standings, everything like that. So I'm going to run through. I'm going to do the NBA games real quick. Celtics playing at 7:30 tonight. They're playing Celtics and the Heat. The game is 2-1. Celtics up 2-1. Lakers play the Nuggets at 10. The Nuggets are up. I'm sorry. The Lakers and Nuggets. Yeah, the Nuggets are up 3-1. And Thunder and Pelicans play at 8:30. That game, Thunders are up 3-0 in that game. I think Thunder's going to take it. yesterday, the Knicks up 3-1. They're doing good over Philadelphia 76ers. Magic is 2-2 with the Cavs. The Pacers are up 3-1 over the Bucks. I don't know what's going on with the Bucks. I thought the Bucks would be killing the Pacers. I mean, man.
Giannis so probably out.
People would mess up. He's not playing.
Oh, that's right. He left his ankle up one game.
I think Damian Lillard is also out.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, they're in trouble.
Oh, that's why they're doing, yeah. So now on to baseball. You know, the Yankees were on fire the first week of the season. They're beating up on the Texas team. Now they kind of cool down a little bit. They're like 19-10 right now. They're like one game over for the Orioles. So we got the Yankees in first, Orioles in second. You got Red Sox. The Red Sox. The Orioles, your team's 17-10. Yeah. Blue Jays are 14-15. The Rays are 13-16. Wow. In the West, you got the Mariners, the Rangers. Then we got the Athletics. And then the Angels and the Astros are in last place. National League. Oh, man, my Mets are probably having a hard time, man. I know they're
the Braves. I was just going to ask you how you're leaving the Mets out.
Well, Mets are third. They're 14-13. They're like three games behind. Phillies in second, 19-10. You got the Braves. They just doing their thing. They're 19-7. The Marlins they're struggling. The Brewers are in first place down in the Central. They're 17-10, and the Cubs are half game behind them. They're like 17-11. But
West Colorado
is in last place. Huh?
West Colorado.
What happened?
West Colorado.
Okay, now we got the Dodgers 18-20. We got the Dodgers, then the Giants, Padres, Diamondbacks, and the Colorado Rockies. They're at 17-21. They're struggling. Yeah, they're struggling. I think Atlanta gonna be tough this year though, and the Dodgers should be tough. Dodgers should be tough again. But
I look at the Brewers, Dodgers, and Giants. I think those are the three teams that I think are going to be strong this year on the National League side. On the American League, I don't think Rangers are going to be where Rangers were last year. I think Orioles, I'm kind of skeptical about them. I got to wait for another 20
don't
games.
Don't be. Go Orioles. Go Orioles, boy. That's my team.
Yeah.
I live right by the stadium, so it's close by.
Did you see the Suns got swept last night?
Yeah,
that's okay.
The Suns are done. KD's done.
You got to lose.
LeBron might be done tonight. I don't know. LeBron might be done tonight.
I don't think so.
What do you think about Tyson fighting Jake Paul, Top?
Tyson got to take him out.
Yeah, they just changed the
it's just a money-making thing right now.
I don't think they're even going to fight, man. There's too many rule changes.
Really?
They're changing all kinds of rules. They're changing the rules. They don't want Tyson to hit that boy. They're changing the rules.
Yeah, Tyson
hit
it. Is there a knockout rule or something? Is there a knockout rule or something? They just
changed
everything. Every single thing works.
Tyson's going to hit that boy so hard, it's going to be crazy. I mean,
Rhoda, Rafael, give you my number. You got it?
No, I don't have it, but I asked him to get it.
Yeah, I'll give it to him. Okay. I'll give it to him. Definitely will.
Yeah.
But again, man, thanks so much. Stop. Thanks, man. I appreciate you for coming on.
You're welcome, man. You're welcome. But we got to push. We got to push. Perseverance.
Yeah. All right, thank you so much. Appreciate
it. Don't let nobody tell you.
No one deters me. I'm tired. That's all.
Rhoda, we're going to be right there to lift him up.
Yeah, I hear you.
I know what you're going through, Ski. I know. We got Kentucky Derby. Ski, we got Kentucky Derby this weekend, too, man.
Oh, is this weekend?
The Kentucky Derby.
This man is a horse racing son of a gun. This boy is a horse racing son of a gun, boy. He loves some.
Yeah, you better watch it, man. Rhoda better watch it too. Top Prop, watch it too. The Kentucky Derby this Saturday.
All the time. All the time. Yeah.
That's my show, Skeeter.
Yeah.
I'm trying to get Skeeter involved, but Skeeter hold him back.
You hear those big hats? You hear those big hats those women wear when you go to the Derby?
like Parliament.
I we back up in Holland with the Queen.
Right.
All right. But thanks again. I appreciate everybody, man. Top, thank you. We'll see you. Let's do it again. Let's do it again
welcome.
Next time. All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Great. Hey, you take care.
Right. Bye.
All right, Rose, thank you so much. I appreciate you. So we'll talk again soon. We still have to talk about the book, but we went past some time, so we'll pick that up again, just so you know. But thank you for coming out. Appreciate you. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
Always a pleasure, Ms. Andale. Always a pleasure. I'll be seeing you soon, Ms. Andale. I'll be seeing you soon.
Hey, Dixon. Tell me this. What the Jamaica? Tell me what when you plan to go down to JA.
Well, now that once I get this stuff situated with Granny. School be over. School's out on the 24th of May, so we just did. After that, I just gotta make plans. You know, pick a week, and then I'm like, boom, boom, boom. So I'm gonna call my man in Miami, check on him schedule, and then we just take a week and go down there. I mean, so y'all be done. When you start your other season? You guys are season right now, right? It's summer season,
we're
right?
Season now. My 13U, my 12U is the 25th. We're going to be in Tennessee, Chattanooga,
May
Tennessee. May 25th, yeah. May right around the corner. Then the 11U will be done, I want to say the 18th. No, the 2nd, the week after May, the 25th. The 13U will be done on the 25th as well. But then we're kicking off the 14 and the 16U right after that. But I need to, I think we're going to have a couple of weekends before we play, so I got to travel. I got to do something, man. Get a breather. I got to get a breather.
Okay.
So you got to let me know.
We gotta,
if it's J, you got to
let me know what you're going to do for St. Martin. Now that we're talking about, we're going to try to do something for November for that tournament. You know, now that your friend is involved, we can have to see if we can put a team together for November.
I have to talk to Omar. I don't even know if he have a schedule yet. But since last year, I know we were trying to put a team together. I know I have probably about 10, 11 players.
Right.
If almost put it together, we could take it down. Yeah, we can make.
I'm gonna work on some guys this summer. I'm gonna work on a team this summer here and try to do a little something with some kids and try to put a little something together. So I'll be trying to put something together. But like I said, keep me posted. Let's shoot for maybe June if you want to do it like first week of June or something, or, you know, before Father's Day, whatever you want to do.
That sounds good.
Okay.
We can do something like that. Either June or July. June or July. Let's do June or July.
Okay.
So
I'm going to watch this game tonight, see what's going on. So I'll do tomorrow. All right, man. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on, man. Hey, you know you always save the day for me, man. I appreciate that.
Hey,
thanks.
Man, we talked a whole hour and a half. I didn't think he was going to do it. We went a whole hour and a half. I'm like, damn, and the whole time just flew.
I almost made the sporting score too. So, but we're good. We'll definitely talk, and I'll get you on next week.
We'll
got to do this again. Same time, same station, man. Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much. All right, yo. All right, peace.
Hey, thanks, everybody, for listening in on the CRS Radio Network. CRS Radio Sports Chat and More. We do this every Monday from 8 o'clock to 9:30. Thanks, Julian Richards. Again, congratulate on him being named, his name being named on the gymnasium. It's really, when it happened to him, I feel like it happened to me as well, because we all grew up on the opposite. We're glad for that happened. Thank you, Rhoda Arenda. We were supposed to talk about her book, but we didn't have time. I think we're going to get her back and have her new book that she's releasing. Thank you so much again. See you guys back on the CRS Radio Sports Chat and More. It's been fun, man. What a beautiful program it was today. I enjoy every last minute of it, and I can't wait to start next Monday and make the same thing happen again. Thank you so much. See you guys next week, next Monday from 8 o'clock to 9:30. Thank you again.
You're listening to Rafael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with sports, chat, and more. You're listening to Rafael Skeet on the Caribbean Radio Show with sports, chat, and more.